Blog Talk Radio.
No, I... Oh, hang on. Spoiler alert! Okay. No, I... Oh, hang on. Spoiler alert! Okay.
Okay, all my sound bites are not working, so...
My name is Fox Mulder.
Here we go.
Since my childhood, I have been obsessed by a controversial global phenomenon. Since my sister disappeared when I was 12 years old, and what I believe was an alien abduction. My obsession took me to the FBI, where I...
Damn, son!
Okay. Another case of... Welcome to our X-Files Extravaganza. Welcome to the show, everyone. So we're going to be talking about the first episode of Season 10 of the X-Files, which has been away from TV for about 14 years. Okay. Sorry, I wish I could have played the whole Fox Mulder thing for you, but I just got a cascade of all my sound effects coming at me at once and not going on when they were supposed to. But welcome aboard. Good to be back after about a month and a half hiatus. I hope you all had a nice New Year, nice Christmas. Hope you dealt with the snow okay. Seems to be melting rather rapidly here, but I'm sure that could change any time. So anyway, I was, of course, very pleased. I actually missed the Sunday night episode. I was able to DVR it, not DVR it, but to get it for free online and to watch the Monday episode. And, again, it's been a 14-year absence. I mean, you know, so much. I guess the last TV shows were pre-9/11. So right there you have sort of, you could say, very much has happened politically, geopolitically, socioeconomically, since the show last aired. My impression, of course, there was a movie or two in between, but even so, that was just basically a 2.5-hour interlude. I was impressed. I know the reviews have been very mixed, but I was kind of impressed with the way it all happened. The one thing, and I'm hoping to have our very special guest joining us shortly, but I'll just talk a little at first. The one thing, I guess, that kind of was different, notably different from the original show, was it was not as dark. You know, if you remember, like, it was always Mulder and Scully, you know, in that dark basement room, and you know, wherever they went always seemed to be dark, and it was just, you know, purposefully grainy footage at times. That was a lot different, you know, especially with the advent of HDTV and other nuances, but that was one of the main sort of atmospheric differences between the original show and the new one. You're also kind of, again, with the 14-year difference that happened, I noticed a lot of the, the high-tech stuff making its way in. I mean, it was there on the original show. It was kind of just alluded to, but now, you know, you're starting to see, like, the iPhones and the fancy computers and the medical diagnostics equipment. So that was certainly another thing that I noticed anyway. Also, I guess the main thing that a lot of other people are bringing up, and I guess I would too, is the personal character development of the two main characters, Mulder and Scully. Obviously, they've had a little history between them since the show aired. They've had a kid. They've gone through a few. Obviously, they've been together and split up since. Had a few little tragedies in between, mainly involving the kid. But you're kind of, I could tell that the way they're doing this is they're going to show you more of the personal side of those two. And possibly with some of the other characters, who knows. We got to see a few old favorites return. We got to see nice seeing A.D. Skinner there. I think he added a lot to the show back then and has the potential to now, even with his goatee. We have the cigarette smoking man has returned with a twist, with a nice little prosthetic half of a face, it appears. That's going to, I mean, he was creepy before. Now he's smoking through a hole in his throat. It's hilarious. Well, it's not hilarious. No one should do that. But, you know, it's just, it just adds to that whole mystique. But you see, that's where the lack of darkness could kind of work against you. You know, the darkness of the original show contributed to the mystique. That might be missing now. In some quarters, but we'll see again as it goes on. I think this is going to be I forgot if this is 6 or 8 episodes. It's not going to be like a full season. They're doing like they did with 24, you know. Or, you know, we're not doing a full season. It's like a mini series almost. A mini series with hope of coming back next year. So, or perhaps later in the year. Who knows? But it kind of, in a way, it's good. It forces them to get to the point, forces them to kind of just bring the action upon you quicker, not to drag things on and on. If you notice, if you remember, the original series was generally like you had the UFO episodes, you know, the episodes that dealt with the core matter of the show. And then, you know, basically, I'd say 2 out of 3 episodes are what we call Monster of the Week episodes. That's kind of been repeated here. We already got one of each now with the first 2 episodes, and apparently we're getting an actual monster next week. But if you appreciate monsters, then you will certainly welcome our special guest. He is world-renowned author and humanitarian, Hunter Shea. Welcome
aboard.
I'm on
the phone, Scully. Scully, stop. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Damn it,
I'm good.
Are y'all bitches bothering you too? Damn it.
You know what?
Just kidding.
This FBI chick wants me to go investigate the Jersey Devil. I don't have time tonight. I'm tired.
I know the feeling. There's probably like monsters right here in White Plains we don't know about.
Oh, there are. I've been to the Galleria.
They tell me Anthony have the ring. Oh, here we go. Yeah, they always say have the rim shot right on top.
Try the veal.
Yeah, so you've got a new monster for us in your latest book. We'll give you a quick plug here while you're on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, there are no FBI agents investigating this. I have my first sea monster book called They Rise came out almost a month ago now, January 4th.
Okay.
And it's about deadly prehistoric chimera fish rising from the methane and icy prison they were in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean for millions of years.
I like that. Yeah, you haven't delved or dived into fish yet. I noticed that until now.
Yeah, the funny thing was, last year I was asked to write a sea or lake monster story for an anthology. Mm-hmm. And then literally 2 days after that, I was asked to do this for Severed Press. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm in sea monster mode now.
Oh, excellent.
Cool.
Yeah. I've always recommended, I'm still 2 books behind. I'm still at Tortures of the Damned, but I finished it. That's a good thing. And for you out there. Yeah, and it definitely worth the read, especially if you're a localite in Westchester. You're going to be taken all over Yonkers and through horrors unimaginable with that book.
Yes. Somebody who read that came up to me and he said, you know, I don't like apocalypse books at all. He goes, mm-hmm. This is really cool because I knew all the places you were talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever it takes.
For us, it makes it scarier. That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And The Dover Demon, that's your second to latest book. That is on my shelf, and that will be read on the next plane trip, promise.
Oh, awesome. I was just talking to Audio Realms. We're going to get the audiobook of that done soon, too. So someday you can have it read to you.
Oh, beautiful. I like that. I want to hear your take on audiobooks. That'll be awesome. So now with X-Files, so I've gotten to my initial impressions of, I tried not to pay attention to the reviews. They seem to be pretty mixed out there. But I was just kind of bringing up sort of the main comparisons to the old show. What did you find was the most, similarities and differences from the original show?
You know what? To me, it was like they just jumped right in. I read the criticisms that the alien mythos was boring and confusing, and I'm like, yeah, they all were.
Right.
Like once you got past season two, and the whole alien mythology started getting really confusing, they were all kind of plotting, and you scratch your head, and so it was. To me, it was like slipping right back into the series. It was 1995 again for me. And then,
go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I felt kind of like that with the, the opening sequence and everything and sort of the flow of the show. I had kind of said that the one thing that I noticed was really different just in the sort of the atmosphere of it was the lack of darkness.
You know what? And I think maybe that was either A, they have better film, because if you notice, if you watch the original series, the first few seasons, it's very dark, but I think it's also a budget thing where they were filming this stuff, and maybe it was crappier film, because as the show got successful and went on, it got a little bit brighter and sharper.
Okay.
But then the other thing could be the contrast, because visually – it was brighter, but the feel of it was much darker. He and Sully are in a dark place in their personal lives.
Yes, and that was that was definitely the next thing. They have with a 14-year history in between them now, they have much more to dwell on with the two characters' personal lives, particularly as it pertains to their son.
Right.
And,
it's the thing that's obviously driven them apart.
Right, and possibly could bring them together again. We don't know. Depends on how they approach this.
Right, well, the last episode, the sixth episode, is supposed to be a return to the alien thing, which will involve their son.
Right.
But in between then, we're going to have four Monster of the Week episodes, which I love this past, oh my God, what day is today? Today's Wednesday. So Monday's episode I loved. Especially
I mean, despite the controversial matter, deformed children is touchy with a lot of people. I did enjoy it. Yeah, I think the doctor was a good character. I thought it was well played throughout. And then next week, apparently, we're going to get a in the flesh monster. From what I saw,
I nearly plotted. When I saw the monster and I saw that guy who was dressed like Kolchak in it,
yes,
I said, oh, I can't wait. It's the first time ever I want Monday to get here.
Yeah, you know what? That is absolutely true. Other than like Walking Dead season and all that, it's very rare that I have waited, with anticipation for, a weekly show.
Right.
Like this.
It's funny. I still have a lot of nostalgia going right now for Star Wars. I mean, as you can see, the billions of dollars it's making. Now, I haven't even seen it yet. And
I just saw it
this
past week. Yep.
Oh, you did? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Finally, Friday night.
Hey, you know what? It's not going anywhere for a while.
Yes.
When I saw that and I loved it, I was 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved Empire Strikes Back and I was maybe 11. And then when Jedi came, I was too old and I didn't give a crap anymore. And then the other three came and I was like, oh, well, those are total crap. X-Files has grabbed me in a way that I didn't even I didn't know how much I missed it until it came back. And when that show came out, I was in – we were in our mid-20s when that show came out. And I still like the same things that I liked in my mid-20s. So it has a tougher connection with me than something like Star Wars. It's hard for me to go back and be 9 years old again.
Right. I mean, yeah, I agree with that. I sort of, you know, I've had an ongoing, a lot of us out there have had an ongoing fascination, you know, just in general with, you know, UFOs, the supernatural, et cetera. And this was one of the nicest manifestations of it on television. And now seeing it come back, you know, just kind of rekindles that whole interest in it.
Exactly. Plus, it had this girl I never heard of, Gillian Anderson, that I absolutely fell in love with.
Oh, yes.
So that didn't hurt either.
Yeah, and it's funny. Of course, I went to school in Manhattan at Cooper Union, and that's, you know, down in the East Village, and I found out that I probably was served by her many times as a waitress. She used to work at a Japanese restaurant. Yeah, she used to work at a Japanese restaurant called Dojo, right in the years when I went to college, and we went there a lot back then. That was my first exposure to Japanese food.
Don't you wish you could go back in time and just take a look around and go, oh, there she is.
Ah, yes. Oh, I love you in that show you're not on yet. Yes.
then I'll change my eyes off you in War and Peace.
Oh, man. She looked pretty good back then, too. You know, a little bit messed up, but she looked pretty good. It added to the impression.
She had the voice. And the eyes and the lips. That was the triumvirate for me.
Oh, yeah. That beautiful red hair. Calm and collected. God bless her. Yeah. She's still very much the skeptic now. They haven't sort of, you know, changed that whole dynamic, you know. It just kind of lapsed right back into it as soon as they met with that Sveta girl. You know, Mulder is trying to be the believer.
You know,
she's the skeptic. Hmm?
I think her skepticism, look, after everything she's seen, including the two movies, she can't be a total skeptic anymore. Well, a skeptic doesn't mean you don't believe.
Right.
A skeptic just means, all right, you got to prove this to me.
Right.
I thought it
right.
was cool where she was buying internally the alien DNA aspect of her, but she was skeptical about the girl and Mulder thinking, now, this has nothing to do with aliens.
Hmm.
So it was
right.
Like,
oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. See, that was kind of funny too. I mean, you know, the first show was like, all right, you know, they're trying to hide this conspiracy about the aliens, and it's like, oh wait, for all those years they were fooling us with the alien thing, and it's really the government doing it. Skeptic
it's initially
about
the alien. So yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah. Well,
and
I think
anybody who wants to get the show wrapped up in episode 6 on that is not going to be happy because the ratings have been fantastic. They're mm-hmm. going to make new episodes. I will stake my life on it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, this is going to come
nothing's
back.
Getting wrapped up.
Yeah, absolutely. I was torn. I mean, the idea of the character, the Ted character, is interesting, you know, to me, whether he's a foil or a sort of a an enabler for Mulder. I don't know if Joel McHale is the guy. You know, he's supposed to be like the Alex Jones type, but he's still like the guy on the soup, you know, except now he's doing conspiracy.
Yeah, so, it was hard for me to buy talk soup guy as a conspiracy guy.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
know,
we'll never see him again.
Well, perhaps, well, that could happen, yeah. But, yeah, he's probably, he could end up being a red shirt too. But it's funny, they're saying, well, gee, you're a conservative and you believe in this 9/11 and UFO stuff. You know, it's unusual, but nowadays it's not so unusual anymore. So,
as soon as he said the words false flag, I was like, oh, just punch him in the mouth. I hate that phrase.
Yeah, it's funny. Even though I know they exist, I still hate the phrase myself.
Especially when it's linked to 9/11. I just like, then I want to punch you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of which, 9/11 is sort of a peripheral role in the show. I mean, not that it's directly involved in the plot, but you know, a lot of the security issues, a lot of the you know, the political issues seem to, you know, perhaps through Ted, becoming into play now.
Right, because that's the catalyst for the ripping away of our rights, giving everything up out of fear. Mm-hmm. Which creates more government. The government can insinuate itself more into your lives, which is cool. I mean, I like the way that Chris Carter is taking a look at the way the world is now, which is very different from when he started the show and
right.
incorporating it into the mythos.
Right, and it's funny that that is very much what happened with 24 in its return last year.
Right.
Where you see Chloe sort of as the, you know, the agent gone rogue, you know, she's kind of like a WikiLeaks type person, you know, fighting the audacity and the over-observance of the over-surveillance of the government. So a little bit of a parallel there, despite
right.
them being in shows.
Did you bring up the best part of the end of the first episode?
Perhaps not yet. Did it involve a certain prosthetic face?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
The return of the cancer man.
Oh, yeah. With a twist.
Yes, who we all thought was dead on the show and possibly in real life.
we didn't know what happened to William B. Davis, right?
I was so happy. I said, are they going to bring back Deep Throat, even though he's dead?
I was dumbfounded by that. Just when I saw, you know, when I saw the back of his head and I saw the cigarette, I'm like, oh, he's back. And then the hole in the throat. God.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
The
opening sequence gave me goosebumps. The theme song gave me goosebumps. And seeing him gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. I mean, that now, like I was saying, that could be the one time that you want a little darkness, like when he steps into the frame.
Right, and he'll be back.
Yes.
If you look at the quick previews, you see him back.
Absolutely. It's funny.
Admiral,
at the beginning.
The two replacement agents, Annabeth Gish and, what's his name, Terminator guy, Jason Patrick.
Oh, they're both going to be back as well, right?
Yep.
I know I know the girl is. I don't know about Patrick.
I thought Jason Patrick was. Maybe he's not.
Yeah, I'm going to check.
I saw
Annabeth Gish's name there. I didn't see Robert Patrick, but I'm sure it'll be funny just seeing one or the other. But, yeah, that'll be interesting, too. I liked Skinner with the goatee now.
Yeah, the beard that connects to nothing.
Funny.
Kind of ends the ear.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Roswell flashbacks?
Well, was that Roswell or was it something else? Because they mentioned Roswell and Aztec, but I think that was supposed to be something else.
Yeah, see, that's what I wasn't sure. They never, you know, you didn't see the crawl at the bottom of the screen. They never explicitly said it, although the time frame matches. And I like that they went back to the round classical UFOs rather than the triangular or the obscure shape, oblong.
I wanted to see Gort come out of there. Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
Yeah, and then Gort did come out and they shot his ass. Damn it.
No, yeah, I thought everything was cool for me. There were no missteps, only because I felt like I was back in my comfort zone. Sitting back watching the X-Files in the dark room.
Yeah, it actually made me want to go back and start, you know, watching some of the old ones again, like particularly the Monster of the Week ones that I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, the fluke thing and the sewers and, oh, there were just so many, too many to name. I mean, they did 200 episodes.
Yeah, and especially I was kind of, when I saw the boy, their son, deformed, that was an interesting scene when he was saying, what's happening to me? I thought a little bit about Mulder's sister, that very sad episode where he kind of sees the vision of her and, you know, kind of realizes that.
Was her name Samantha, right?
I thought it was Samantha, yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
I have it in
jokes. I'm in the box.
Yeah, I had it in my little opening sequence, which Blog Talk cut off here. God dang it! But the sound bites went awry here. But what are you going to do? And we have a new term now: ARV, Alien Replica Vehicle. So we got our first acronym of the year.
Yes. Hey, why not?
Runs on free energy and apparently can power. Lots of things. It's come out. Kind of runs on a magnetic field, and it has a cloaking device.
which means Scotty would be proud.
Oh, I'm scared now. The Romulans might be here. Oh, dear God.
It's crossover time. The next six episodes that they order will be a crossover.
Oh, yeah. Imagine Mulder doing, like, Space, the Final Frontier. These are voyages of me and Scully. Bye.
Oh, my God. They have definitely aged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
You know?
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny, like, when Scully, you know, when they were saying, so what have you been doing with yourself? And Scully's clearly been doing her doctor stuff. I wanted Mulder to say, yeah, I moved out to California, started writing books, then turned to porn, was very successful, 7 years, and now I'm back. And changed my name to Hank Moody.
I got to say, he looks like he is, they're pulling him off a barroom floor to shoot these episodes. I don't know if that's intentional, that's what time has done to him, or if he literally is having a grand old time.
I think it's a little of both, yeah, but I'm sure he's been making the rounds. And he's a single man again, I believe. He's no longer with Taya Leone. So. Hey,
yeah,
God bless him.
He could get better. He could get better.
I agree. She was all right like 15 years ago. But,
older,
yeah. They throw a lot of history at you with regards to, I think, twice. First at the beginning, which was kind of like the history of the government's involvement in UFOs. And then sort of in the middle of the show, he starts when Ted is there, he starts talking about the different UFO sightings, simulated alien abduction. And then Ted breaks in with the whole history of government abuse, you know.
To write that episode is really difficult because you have to reconnect with this franchise that you made, because Chris Carter wrote the first episode. And Chris Carter, good writer, wasn't always the strongest. James Wong was strong. Vince Gilligan was strong. But for this, you had to, A, reconnect with something that you haven't touched for 14 years.
Yeah,
and to cram a lot in, realizing you might have a lot of new viewers too.
Yeah,
there are people in their 20s that have never watched the show before.
Right.
So it's hard. It's very hard. I think they did as good as you could possibly do with that.
Yeah.
To satisfy both the old and the new.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there are obviously some of those people, even though they haven't seen the show, have obviously been living through the issues, if you will. So I think that kind of works. But, yes, I think they did try to cram a little too much. Second episode flowed a lot better, though. It's quite quite impressed with Sanjay and his glowing eyes and his exploding self, et cetera.
The ending was great. Loved it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I know that one of the episodes, they're fighting a werewolf.
Coming up or past one?
Another one, not the one coming up this coming Monday, but either the one after or the one after that. I heard there's going to be a werewolf.
Oh, nice. That'll be good. Good old fashioned. They had the Chupacabra. Remember that?
Yes.
The original. Yeah.
Back when Chupacabra was new, because Chupacabra's only been around since the 90s.
That's right. Yeah, they just they grabbed that one right away. I think South Park did it too, but.
Yeah, I wonder if they do the Montauk Monster.
Oh, imagine they take one of your monsters. They better pay you for it, though, bastards.
Yeah, let me tell you, that area is ripe for them. It's government conspiracies. It's hidden labs. It's Nazis. They could have a ball with that if they decided to go there.
Oh, they could do a whole Plum Island show. That would be amazing.
I'd love it, because then I'm sure sales of Montauk Monster would creep right back up again.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I would gladly lobby for that. Like I said, the deformed children were disturbing a little bit. The one in particular, the one that had, like, the really flat, mushy face. Ugh,
oh, trying to feed himself with the spoon?
Yes. Ugh, horrible.
Yeah, that was rough. Okay. I couldn't tell whether that was practical effects or if it was CGI. It looked practical.
Yeah, that looked quite real. I couldn't say otherwise. I think some of the others were just makeup and prosthetics, but Yeah, that was
right, cause it,
quite, yeah.
The half UFO was real, that when it was buried in the sand. But
yeah, yeah.
Its crash landing looked a little cheesy, but whatever.
Yeah. So, interesting name, Founders Mutations. That was kind of probably a double meaning as well, you know, in terms of a genetic code and also the sort of mutation of the mind of the Augustus Goldman guy as he sort of continues his work through the years. But he played a pretty
right.
good role.
Yeah, no. They always get good performances out of these people you've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just like Seinfeld. You know, you had those, you know, the special guests like the Man Hands Girl and, you know, the Soup Nazi. These guys have also had a nice slew of special guests.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the old episodes, I mean, you see these people who are nothing at the time. You go, oh, my God, I've seen them in a million things since then.
Yeah,
so they have a good
yeah,
eye
yeah.
for finding these good character actors.
Yeah. Matter of fact, even Monk was in one such episode. If you remember the guy who his shadow could kill people, remember that?
Yes.
That was one of my favorite episodes. It was called Soft Light. Yes, I remember that.
Mine was my favorite was everybody's just about everyone's that home episode with the deformed redneck family.
Oh yeah,
with Andy and Barney as the sheriff and the
yeah.
deputy. Love that.
I remember that. That was good. I like the circus one too, where they're at the funeral
oh.
for the circus freak and he pops out of the ground.
Yes, that was the one that was set in that real town down in Florida where all the. Circus freaks go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That
that's
was the
a real town.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. That was the what do you call it? What was it? The conundrum? Was that that same one?
Yes, the conundrum. The guy with that blue puzzle face.
Yes.
Who was a
few people out? If you people out there don't know what we're talking about, just see if you could find X-Files like somewhere on Hulu or wherever, or even on YouTube if you can cheat a little, and just check out some of the old episodes, too. It's worth it.
All of them are on Netflix if you have Netflix streaming on demand. They're all there.
Okay. Actually, I have that, so I should have known that. You're right. It is on Netflix. So.
Yep. I'll be going back. Once we're almost done with Breaking Bad in this house. We didn't watch any episodes until this summer, and five more to go for the whole series.
Okay. Yeah, I did the first two seasons, and I stopped, but I have to continue with that one. It's been lingering.
And
yeah.
That has an X-Files connection. It's Vince Gilligan.
That's true, right? You forgot about that.
He used to do X-Files.
And they named the janitor. I just realized, as I'm looking at my notes, they named the janitor Kyle Gilligan. The one who also heard the sound, yeah. So,
yep.
That sound thing also kind of harkened back to another episode from the old series. Remember the guy he had something happen to him that caused him, like they had to keep driving him west or else something in his head would explode, remember?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. He kept hearing like the I forgot the exact plot, but there's like a police showdown or something, and on the footage they see like a girl's head exploding, and the guy robs a car and he starts driving, and then Mulder has to sort of take over and drive him like 60 miles an hour westward, and then
yeah.
they're going too far west.
I remember thinking when I saw that it was X-Files Speed Edition.
Yes. It was a good episode. Yeah, if anyone could see that one, that was pretty good. Won't say how it ends, but
they all die.
Okay. the
bad thing that wasn't supposed to happen done happened. Sorry,
Homer. Hey.
Oh, where's my beer? So I like
Bears a show that's been on too long.
26 and counting now, right? 26
Good
seasons?
Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, still has a ways to go to beat soap operas and Meet the Press and all, but I don't think it'll get that far, so.
They still make new episodes of Cops? That might be the longest running show.
Yeah, it might be, well, Law and Order also, but well, that was 88, I guess. So they're kind of tied with The Simpsons, but yeah, Cops was like in the mid 80s too. That might be a little bit longer actually.
When I was dating my wife, Cops had just started, and we have been together 29 years.
Wow. Okay.
That's a long, long show, boy. Good for them.
Wow. Jeez. 20. And this year, 29 as a couple, but this year is the big year, is your milestone year, isn't it?
No, it's only 24.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm doing the arithmetic wrong. I got the wrong gear. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm the engineer.
Come on, you were in the wedding party. Don't you remember these things?
Yeah, I do. I probably mislabeled the photos. I'm sorry. But you know it is
That's
coming
right.
up. There's a milestone for high school coming up, but I won't get into that one. So that's this
Holy
year.
Crap, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to think about that.
Nah, me neither.
That makes me feel way too old.
You know, it does, but then I realized I just survived a workout with the great Vincent Musolino before, which involved like six exercises, like in one exercise. So if I can do that, being my age, I'm proud of this shit.
There you go. Good for you.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, in the second episode, a lot of special effects. They started getting back to the Monster of the Week. There was a lot of plot to the second one, too. I mean, you had to kind of follow along, but... It only related peripherally, like, to the overall theme, I guess, of this season. But I guess as the season goes on, we'll see how. We'll see what the ringing, what the significance of the ear ringing thing was and why Mulder was hearing it, et cetera.
Right. And, yeah, it did bring, it called into the son being, you know, they had to give the son away because of the whole alien craziness and the son possibly having alien DNA. So,
yeah.
I mean, one thing... Was it you or someone else? Oh, no, someone else asked me, what was the significance of watching apes on TV?
Huh.
Because when they were in the hospital, people
right.
were watching Planet of the Apes. And at the right. end, Mulder is thinking about being with his son watching the apes in the beginning of 2001, The Space Odyssey.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I saw the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it either means something... Or it's just uh-huh. like something I would do where I really dig ape movies, so I just want to put them on the TV and make people wonder.
Actually, I thought of something now. If they were watching 2001 A Space Odyssey, that is when that slab appears, when the apes hit it, and when the people find it on the moon, the slab
right,
emits
Mulder tells
like,
his son that's a monolith.
The monolith, right. And the monolith, what does it do to them? It produces a screeching, ear-piercing sound.
Oh, that is right.
Uh-huh. All right. We just discovered a connection.
We're figuring this all out. We'll be,
yeah.
Know, if we do this,
we might
talk for another 5 hours. We'll have the whole thing figured out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys won't have to watch the other four episodes. It's awesome. Oh, that's funny. Speaking of... You first.
No, I said that could be it. I think we're on to something there.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of miniseries and all, and this is one I might be denied because I'm not sure if I can pay for this separately, Hulu is going to be putting an 8-part miniseries out very soon, and it's something I had been waiting for, and when it's called 11/22/63.
Oh, the King book.
The Stephen King book. And I didn't read the book. It's 890 pages, but just reading the summary of the book is like fascinating. So
one of the best books he ever wrote.
Oh yeah. No, it looks incredible. I mean, so basically the premise is there's a gentleman whose friend owns a diner who has a time portal. And basically he has been meaning to go back in time to try to save JFK, the president, from assassination. And he fails to do so. So he hands over the task to his younger friend, the main character in the whole thing. The catch being in the book anyway, that you don't go, the time portal doesn't take you to 1963. It takes you to 1958. So you have to live 5 years in the past before you get to JFK. I think in the series they're going to make it 1960, but I mean it. There's a lot of possibilities with that. I mean this. I hope that I'm able to watch it without subscribing to Hulu.
I have that book sitting on my shelf. I bought it at Bridgeton Books. It's just the store Stephen King goes to all the time. Hopefully, that maybe because sometimes he'll sign books surreptitiously and just put them on the shelf.
Oh, but wow!
Alas, it wasn't one. It wasn't one of his signed ones. This is when I was just up in Maine and ran into him coming out of the barbershop as I was going in.
You're kidding.
No.
Really?
And I was so dumbfounded I couldn't even speak.
I would be too.
And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. The town was, nobody's up. So he walks out. I walk in. I sit down. And the barber, he's looking everywhere in his barbershop. He goes, I'm not really officially open yet, but don't worry. Just have a seat. I'm just looking for something. Looking in there. After a while, I go, can I help you? He says, well, I'm looking for my car keys.
Oh.
And I said, well, could they be over here or whatever? And he says, well, I think that fella might have taken them with him.
Hmm.
And I said, the guy who just left? He goes, yeah, you know him, Stephen King? I said, well, yeah, I know him. I said, everybody knows Stephen King. And he looks at me, and you only get this in Maine. In all earnestness, he looks at me and goes, you don't happen to have his phone number, do you? I said, no. Yeah. He says, oh, well, he's driving down to New York City to film the Stephen Colbert show, and he wanted to get a haircut before he went. But I think he took my keys. They were in his hat.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Yeah. It was hysterical.
And that's funny. That could be the premise of, like, one of his horror novels. A man takes a key, for an unsuspecting set of keys from a barbershop, and opens a whole new portal to hell, you know.
Exactly. And I'm just sitting there just going, these scissors just tucked Stephen King's head. Now they're cutting my hair.
Oh my God, I'll never wash these scissors again. No, on second thought, you better wash them. Yeah, sure.
It's weird because I meet celebrities all the time and I have no problem talking to any of them. In fact, sometimes they get way too familiar, like they're a bud. But him, he's like one of the few that I'll just like dang, dang, dang. Hello. I like
we like words. Oh God!
I like turtles.
Yeah, I like I like turtles too. Nice and slow. I can beat them. It's awesome. But I'm really looking forward to the remaining four episodes, and I'm looking forward, hopefully, to further seasons in the future. And I may have to watch the second movie again because, you know, at the time I kind of was disgusted with it, but perhaps I can view it in a different light now.
I think because it was a Monster of the Week thing as a movie, and we were all waiting. We all wanted something else.
Right. Everybody wanted UFOs.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I want to ask you.
Sure.
When the show inevitably comes back, would you prefer another six-episode event?
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing now with these shorter seasons of 10 to 13 episodes, a full-blown season, or a movie? Which do you prefer?
For that, I would almost prefer maybe about 8 episodes, but I would sort of prefer the short season because it allows you to sort of you know, the whole thing, it lets you digest it and everything. It lets you appreciate it more. But just the whole thing is we are so oversaturated now with many things.
Right.
I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd say cut Walking Dead to, like, you know, 12 episodes or so.
I agree. I think I found that the 10-episode format is perfect. Like, my favorite show on TV now is Longmire, and that's 10 episodes. And you know what?
Okay.
It's perfect. As much as I want more, I know if they keep giving me more, I'm going to burn out on it.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, theoretically, you could do a lot with Monster of the Week. You could do Chupacabra 2. You could do all sorts of things. You could bring the UFOs back in. But I think this kind of gives it a purpose, a direction, and possibly a nice jumping off point for a following season.
Right. And as writers and creators, it forces you to focus. So
yes,
you're not going to have the throwaway episodes that you'll have in a 24-episode season. And what you're going to really do is say, we only have 10 episodes. We can create a coherent arc that takes you from 1 to 10. And bang, you've got this perfect little package.
Right. You're not going to have like Skinner and Sveta like stuck in a cabin in the middle of the woods, you know, giving it the finger as they burn it down for a whole episode. You know, that won't happen here.
I want a Shocker thing for Skinner. I want some kind of recall to Shocker in an episode.
I like that movie.
Hey, it had good metal music. It was awesome.
Yes, you know, a lot of people don't know it was even him in it. When I've mentioned it to other people, say, you know, that's Skinner from the X-Files. Like, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, it's younger, but
Shocker.
That's all. It was almost like a nice, like a better trauma movie, you know, with the music playing so much in the background.
Exactly.
Well, that trauma, you get it cool. Constantly. Yeah. But oh, by the way, if you don't get Mr. Hunter Shea's recommendations, I'll put them on my Facebook and on my Google Plus. You had some very good recommendations the last few times out, and I've already seen two of them.
For the movies for last year?
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, I started watching the second one. The first, what was the first one I watched? Oh, the Final Girls. Very well done.
Surprisingly, right?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was just going to be quirky. It was actually, you know, yes, it was quirky, but it was. It actually had a direction. It was a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
It looked good. It had people who know how to act. It was crazy.
Yes.
For a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Malin Ackerman. She's always awesome.
Oh, I like her. She's pretty. She's very pretty. I saw I think I told you about this one. I recommended it to you. It's called, what the hell is it called? Oh, jeez, Anthony, now I forgot the name. Coherence. It's not really a horror.
Yeah, I have that written down to watch. Is that on,
yeah.
Did you get that on Amazon?
I think I got it on Amazon, yes. It's this would be more of a sci-fi thriller, I guess you'd call it. Not really horror per se, but.
That's all right. I've been leaning a very sci-fi. I watched all of Childhood's End on your recommendation at Christmas.
Yes. That people have been waiting for that for 60 years. I mean, I've been waiting for it since grammar school.
Yeah, I thought it was actually well done. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, whatever changes they made did not detract from the novel. I think it even enhanced it. You know, I'm glad they preserved, you know, I wasn't sure what they were going to do with the aliens, but they said, no, we're going for it. Full-blown demon. Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was too slow for the modern-day, younger, skewing audience, but or if there's somebody young who really likes sci-fi, they understand. Sci-fi isn't about aliens and spaceships and blowing things up.
Right.
Sci-fi is about the core of how humans interact with a changing world, other races. It's about the core of humanity in just a futuristic world.
Exactly. And that's always what Arthur C. Clarke dealt with. I mean, from 2001. Well, many people have said this was always his best book, and I think it is by far. I mean, it's more understandable in a way than 2001.
A short book. It's a very small book, so the fact that they got three episodes out of it.
They were originally talking about a full, like an eight or ten episode miniseries, but then they decided to go shorter.
Good.
Yeah,
they would have dragged it out. Would have been too much.
Yeah. They said the only other manifestation that it had been caught in development hell, the only other manifestation it ever had was in the 80s. It was like a BBC radio series, and that was the only other time they ever attempted to bring it into media.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear that. I love radio series. I'm such an old person.
You know what I listen to, actually? I'm an even older theoretical person. E.G. Marshall.
Oh, he's, really? Where you get? Oh, you can catch anything online. What am I asking?
Oh, yeah. He's all over YouTube and everywhere. And I think there's a website that streams all his stories. But he's a very good voice, very good for horror. And, well, not really horror necessarily, but mystery. So,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah, I remember listening to all WFUV used to play all the old serials. And my dad and I used to listen to it sitting in the kitchen, putting Aurora Monster model kits together back in the Bronx way back in the day.
Yes, my dad used to listen to a lot of that too. I don't know if we were putting models together, but I remember he was a big. Back then, you could get a lot of that on just regular AM radio too, or UHF. I mean,
especially at nighttime. At nighttime, they'd be like, "All right, we got filler here, so let's give them some old."
I remember Shell. Shell used to have some, the oil company. Shell used to have some kind of a radio show. I remember Sunday night he used to listen to Shell Oil, something Mystery Hour or something like that.
Boy, those oil companies just owned everything. The Texaco Star Theater, they were.
That's right.
Nothing has changed. See, everyone thinks, oh, look at how evil they've gotten. They always were in everything.
Oh, of course. The oldest, everybody jokes about the corporate names on ballparks, for instance. Well, the oldest ballpark the second oldest ballpark in baseball is a corporate name, or it was anyway, Wrigley Field.
Wrigley, exactly.
So, yeah. There were advertisements all over the walls back then.
Yeah, we like to think the world has changed a lot, but it really hasn't.
No,
people talk about terrorism now, and I'm sure this is going to be maybe they'll bring or add a tinge of it to this new X-Files season. But you and I remember growing up remember the monthly air raid signals going off?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was a particular day of the week all the time.
Yeah, right in your neighborhood. I remember sometimes in school we used to do the drills of getting under the desk because we thought for sure the Russians were going to kill us at any moment.
I remember we didn't get under the desks. They used to have the ones, and they didn't necessarily time it with the air raid, where they used to send us into the fallout shelter, which was basically the gym. Yeah.
So. Yep, the school gym.
The gym with the giant windows, and the beams waiting to fall on us. Yeah, that was great.
If you all walk around your neighborhood and you see an old big brick building, you might see these faded fallout shelter signs. Look for them. Because they're always an older, solid brick building.
Oh, yes. Actually, the funny thing was the public school became the designated fallout. PS-16 became the fallout shelter.
By our house is the fallout shelter for here still.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember taking a course in raiding buildings for use as nuclear shelter. I never did anything with it, thank God. But it was a FEMA. It was a FEMA course, and I was required.
When I build my bunker, I'm going to have you inspect it.
Oh, thanks. Oh, you one hunter. Yeah.
Because I will have a bunker someday.
Yeah, we all need our bunker. Mine might be in Central America somewhere, but...
hey, wherever it is, make sure it's
secure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be some fun
food,
stuff
water,
going on.
Filtered air and a chemical toilet. There you go.
That's right. And a few local chiquitas.
See.
To help out with the toilet.
Las chicas. Las chicas.
Las chicas. Yeah, right. Chiquitas would be too small. It would be chicas. Yes.
Yes. At least in your shelter. Not my shelter.
In my shelter.
not allowed.
Oh, dear. Well, actually, you could probably chime in when I, sometime after April, I'll be doing, or maybe even sooner, I'll be doing another travel show because I'll be returning to Colombia again.
Colombia.
Yes, it is oficial. In the midst of the Zika outbreak.
You got a little something on your nose there, Tony. I was just eating a powdered donut. Leave me alone.
I don't see no pfeffernuss around you. It's funny, somebody brought those into the office today and there was all powder all over the table. I'm like, I'm not going to go anywhere with this one. So
are you going soon?
I am going in April and it's going to involve two cities that I have not been to before, Cartagena and Medellin.
Oh, those are both the cartel cities.
Those are the two cartel cities. Now they are the two tourist destinations for Colombia. So.
Really? So I guess the cartels have moved further into the jungle?
No, they just the cartel drug stuff has been replaced with sort of just systemic corruption.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, nonviolent organized crime. Yeah, it's a little easier over there now. It's funny.
Look how Sicily makes it work.
Yeah, exactly. You just, you know what? We could do, we could have all the corruption we want without the violence. Yes, kind of like here, actually.
Let's all live to spend the money that we're stealing.
Yeah. these blood stains are too much to wipe off. Let's put these people to work for less than we should be paying them. But
shout.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating freaking country. I mean, Bogota, last time it was Bogota, Santa Marta, and Ibagué. And, you know, all the cities are very different. And it's very hard to drive between them because they don't have an interstate system.
Right.
So
how do
you,
get back and forth?
Well, basically, I mean, some cities, like, well, you know, you'll have four-lane roadways for a while, and then it'll go to two lanes. So, you know, what would be a four-hour drive in the U.S. might be eight there. So basically, you do plane trips.
Right.
You know,
you
just do commuter flights. Yeah.
Well, you enjoy that, because I will never do it.
Oh, no, I mean, it's not, you know, it's Avianca and Copa, you know, it's main airlines. But
look,
not like,
unless Jesus is at the wheel, I don't want to get in any plane. I'm so done with flying.
Oh, I think maybe Jesus might be at the wheel. Sorry about that. Sorry, folks.
Welcome to Colombia.
Do not want to offend my Hispanic listeners. But, yeah, it's going to be great then. And actually,
right,
one of my
I'm sorry, man. I just want to tell you, I got to go take off. I have to help out
friend.
The little aliens with some stuff.
Okay,
but,
well, I'm going to take off too.
Here's the deal, everybody. You got to watch the remaining four episodes. We got to keep those ratings high, so that way they definitely come back.
Yes, absolutely. It's your duty.
Exactly.
And then watch them again on streaming if you have to. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Look for the nuances.
All right, man. You go keep on believing.
Indeed I will. The truth is out there, and it's in my heart. Oh, that was good.
All right, Scully, I have time now. All right, fun talk. All right, man, so I'll talk to you next time.
All right, my brother. Pleasure as always, and go out and get, what's your latest again?
They Rise, a deep-sea thriller through Severed Press, developed in trade paperback and ebook. So hop on over to Amazon or HunterShade.com and have some fun.
You heard it here. All right, Hunter Shade, thank you for joining us. And,
all right, man.
Peace out.
I will talk to you soon, my brother.
All right, kiddo. Keep writing.
All right. I will. Bye.
Cheerio. Okay, so that was excellent. Most excellent. And we had a very nice, I think we got to the point here. We talked about the differences between the old show and the new, the nuances that you're starting to see with the show, and the sort of new issues and permutations that that linger on. So I guess we're going to leave it at that. Now, for some reason, the one sound bite that I wanted to play to close out was just, it's just not, there's no arrow next to it. I can't play it. So what I'll do is I'm going to try to replay the opening, the Fox Mulder speaking opening, but I'll play first a little clip of Agent Dana Scully talking to Tad O'Malley. And then we'll take it out with the Fox Mulder speech, and we'll bid you farewell.
Do you miss it at all? The X-Files?
As a scientist, it was probably some of the most intense and challenging work I've ever done. I've never felt so alive.
You mean working with Mulder?
Possibly one of the most intense and challenging relationships I may ever have.
My name is Fox Mulder. Since my childhood, I've been obsessed by a controversial global phenomenon. Since my sister disappeared when I was 12 years old, and what I believe was an alien abduction. My obsession took me to the FBI, where I investigated paranormal science cases through the auspices of a unit known as the X-Files. Through this unit, I could continue my work on the alien phenomenon and the search for my missing sister. In 1993, the FBI sought to impugn my work, bringing in a scientist and medical doctor to debunk it, which only deepened my obsession for the better part of a decade, during which time that agent, Dana Scully, had her own faith tested. In 2002, in a change of direction and policy, the FBI closed the X-Files, and our investigation ceased. But my personal obsession did not.